Faith, how does the anointing feel? I was sitting there thinking, she's getting one of her first taste of the anointing of God. It's something. Woo! Stand with me and let's give him a prayer and a praise and we'll get into our lesson. Father, we thank you. We love you. We're going to do it anyway. We're just going to do it anyway. Hallelujah. We're going to pray anyway. We're going to dream anyway. We're going to love anyway. We're going to do it anyway. Amen. And we're going to think anyway. So, Father, I ask you now to help us with our thinking. Show us the things you want us to see today about how we think. Be with each one of us. Open our understanding so that we can think the way we should. I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. If you love him, give him a praise and a prayer, a hand clap and a shout. Be seated. Be seated. Well, we're in our series. Our series is called Thoughts, the Creative Power. This is our third lesson, and today what I want to talk to you about is stopping backward thinking. Yeah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "Finally, brethren," Paul's surmising everything that he's said in the book of Philippians down to this, he says, "Finally, brethren," here's what it's all about, "whatsoever things," would you say things, just say things, things, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report." Now, what reason I'm having us emphasize and think about things, you see, this doesn't have to be religious things that you think about. It doesn't have to be spiritual things, although all things are spiritual. It doesn't have to be those kinds of things. It's things that make you smile. It's things that make you happy. It's things that bring an up thought into you. Things that make your heart happy. This is what Paul is saying. Think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be anything to praise about, get happy about, then think on these things. Think up, Paul is saying. Think forward. Why is it? Why does the Bible instruct us all to think up, to think forward, to think on good things? Why can't I just let my mind just go and think about whatever that it wants to think? I'm hoping we're learning why. You see, the first lesson that we did in this series was called Thoughts, the Creative Power, or that's the title of the thing, but Thoughts Create Reality. That's the first lesson that we did. We think, and then it comes into reality. What I wanted to do maybe today was show you some real thing, some reality that's been in our news over the last couple of weeks that will bring the purpose of really thinking good things into reality for us. Anna Nicole Smith has been in the news a lot. Am I correct? Bless that poor woman. I mean, that is the saddest story, is it not? It is so sad. It's been kind of labeled as a circus life with a circus death. In a circus funeral. Was she successful? Well, let's think about that just a second. If you get your notoriety and your popularity and become known because you're a Playboy bunny, playmate, is that success? Are you successful when you're 26 years old and you marry an 89-year-old guy who dies shortly thereafter? And then you spend years in litigations, is that successful? Are you successful when your son comes to visit you in the hospital where you've just had a baby, you allow him to do drugs in your presence, and then your son dies in your hospital room in your presence from an overdose. Is that successful? Is it successful when you're 39 years old and you die in a drug-related death? Is that successful, or is that wild thinking? Is that uncontrolled thinking? How about Britney Spears? Britney Spears is in the news a lot. Now, Britney Spears' parents, in case you don't know, is probably, if you have a daughter, she's an idol of your daughter. She is the top-selling pop artist from the years of 2000 to 2005. Successful? Well, let's see. She's 25 years old right now. She's had two marriages, two divorces, and two pregnancies. She seems to enjoy exposing herself in public, and been in drug rehab more times than my research can turn up. Is that success? Is that wild thinking? How do people get to where they get in life? How do they create the life in which they live? You see, it's true with them, and it's true with you, it's true with me, it's true with every single person. This is universal, and no one is immune to this. We create our lives by our thinking. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he or she. In other words, what that's saying is that you create the life you have by how you think, the way you think. Your thoughts create what you are and who you are, create what you have. Jesus said this in the book of Mark chapter 7 and verse 21 through 23. It says, for from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts. Thoughts. Here are they: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man or a woman what he or she is. Unclean, clean, successful, unsuccessful. But they make the person what that person is. Now notice there, we talked about this in a previous lesson, but notice there that the thought doesn't just produce another thought. An immoral person having an immoral thought doesn't just create another immoral thought. An immoral thought eventually creates what? An immoral person. The thought created the person. A murderer just doesn't create more thoughts of murder doesn't create more thoughts of murder. They create a murderer. Our thoughts create who we are. Our thoughts make us what we are. The way we think is what we are. Your life is not a process of discovering who you are. Your life is a process of creating who you want to be. God created you in His likeness and in His image. You create the rest. He's created you with all kinds of power and all kinds of ability. Now you take that power, those tools He's given you, and you create your life. What you think about, you bring about. Now, and most people think that and believe that it's their upbringing, it's their environment, it's their parenting, it's their educational levels. They blame these things on how they think. That's not truth. Here's the truth. How you think brings about your educational levels, brings about your environment. How you think creates your life. God gave you the ability. He created you in the likeness and the image of God. You create the rest. And you create it with thoughts. I've run this thing the last 2 weeks. It ran before the service this week. It'll run after the service. And it ran last week. And it'll probably run again next week. But it's a scroll, a roll of quotes and things that I have about thinking. I want to read you this one in case you missed it, which goes along with what I just said. It says in her book, Choose the Happiness Habit, Pam Golden tells a true story about twin brothers. One grew up to be an alcoholic bum, and the other became an extremely successful businessman. When the alcoholic was asked why he became a drunk, he replied, "My father was a drunk." And the successful businessman was asked why he became successful. He said, "My father was a drunk." It was the same background, the same gene pool. They had the same upbringing. They were twins. What was the difference? What made it different? The difference was the creation of each brother's thinking. One brother's thinking created a bum, and the other's brother's thinking created a successful life. See, it's exactly what Jesus said. Thoughts from within make the man or the woman be what we are. Thoughts make us. Now, this is tremendous knowledge. This is tremendous insight. This is tremendous wisdom if we'll take it and we'll use it. It will show you where you are. Student, right now, if you're in school and you're at the top of the class, it's because you've chosen by thought to be at the top of your class. If you're just hanging out, if you're just passing time, if you're just goofing off, then you're not at the top of the class because that's how you've chosen to be. You've chosen not to do your homework. You've chosen not to study. And you're going to find yourself, unless you change that thinking, that's how you're going to go through life. You've chosen that. Every single one of us are where we are because we've chosen this is how we want to live. So it's insight to see where we are and why we are where we are. But beyond that, and even greater than that, it's not just that we can see where we are, but it's so that we can drive our lives to where we want our lives to go. See, if I know that my thinking creates for me tomorrow what I'm thinking today, I'm going to think good things today. This is why Apostle Paul said, think on these things. Think up. Think good. Think positive. Think out there. Think forward thoughts. And so if I understand that, and it's true, then I will make myself, I will control my thinking, not to have wild thinking, but control thinking to direct my life where my life wants to go, where I want my life to go. What you get in life, you create by how you think in life. It's not just going to fall out of heaven. It's just not going to poof and be there. You got to create it. What you have and experience in your tomorrows, you are thinking and creating in your todays. Do not seek or think about who you are. Seek and think about who you want to be. There's only really one way to see who you really are. It's by what you've created. And what you get to create is your life. If you desire specific things such as an education or a house or a car or a mate, wealth, you know, health, whatever, you must begin drawing it to yourself and you begin moving towards that by thinking. Think on these things, Paul said. Now let me try to give you an illustration that I've been working on this week. Let's say that I want a 2007 brand new $55,400 Cadillac Escalade. I don't, but say I did. And the reason that I'm using this will be obvious in just a few minutes. But say that's the automobile I wanted. And I read Mark 11:23, 24, and 25, where Jesus says that I can have whatsoever I want, that whosoever can have whatsoever. That's what he says there. And so I am going through that process, and I'm putting that process into operation. So I just happen to have today a remote control 2007 Cadillac Escalade, and I've seen it, you know, in at the car lots, and I saw it in movies, in the books and magazines, and I've got brochures on this thing. And I am really wanting this thing. So I asked the Lord for it. And I began to desire it. And I began to want it. And I put it on my focus board. What's it doing? Now, see, I'm thinking about this. I'm not looking at it, am I? You can't see me thinking about it. But it's coming. It's the way I'm wanting you to see. See, our thoughts are going out and bringing to us, and as we go towards those things, we don't see our thoughts, but our thoughts are working. Now, I want this Escalade. So I go and I test drive it. And like we talked about last week, Jesus says, when you believe, you receive it. In other words, you make believe that you receive it. So I go and I get in this Escalade. I literally test drive this Escalade. I smell this car. I smell the interior. I smell it. I feel the air conditioning in my face. I turn that fantastic stereo on and I feel that stereo. I turn on the GPS navigational device. The car talks to me. I'm talking, this is a car, you know? And I'm thinking, and I put it on my focus board, and I'm drawing this card towards me. I'm wanting it. And then all of a sudden, you see, doubts start coming up. And doubts are, where are you going to get $55,400? You can't do that. What do you need that kind of car for anyway? What's that car going to do for you? You don't need that kind of car. Get you a pickup truck. You don't need a car like an Escalade. Right? It's your old junker. All you're going to do is go fishing. What do you need that kind of car for? And you see, what I've done now is I've had backward thoughts. I had forward thoughts. I was thinking on good things. I was thinking on the things that I wanted, and I was bringing it to me. And then I started having these backward thoughts, these doubts. And I'm going to show you in just a second. Jesus says that's what will stop you having what you want in your life. And what I've got to do is I've got to grab that backward thought. I've got to stop that backward thought. I've got to destroy that backward thought, and I've got to get my thoughts going forward again. I've got to think on good things. I got to think on positive things. I got to get my car coming back to me. I want my car. I start thinking, my God can supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. My God wants me to prosper and be in good health even as my soul prospers. I'm worth this car. I can have this car if I want this car. And about the time, I'm getting through all of that, somebody comes and makes me mad. I get in a cuss fight or a yelling fight with my wife, and next thing I know, there goes my Escalade again. Backward thoughts going out, pushing that I want away from me. I get bitter. I start gossiping. I start talking about people. I get mad. I get angry. Backward thought. I'm not thinking on good things. So what do I have to do? I have to do what the Bible says to do. I got to ask her or it or somebody to forgive me. I got to say, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. And I start praying for this person. I apologize. It doesn't matter if they apologize to me or not. I'm wanting to get my forward thinking working on again, because Jesus says this is how it's supposed to work. And so what I do is I start moving in forgiveness, make sure my trash basket is emptied. Remember that one? Lord, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those that put trash in our baskets. So I got to do that. And so I've beaten doubt. I've beaten unforgiveness. And next thing I know is here is my Escalade. Now, I want to read you the story, the verse in the Bible, in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23 through 25, and show you this in the Scriptures, what I just taught you here, or what I just showed you here, and then I'm going to use it in a different way. Mark 11, verses 23 through 25 says this, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say," would you say whosoever? "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not," what? Doubt. You got to beat doubt. Every time a doubt thought comes up, you got to beat it. "Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever." Say whatsoever. Whatsoever. "Whosoever shall have whatsoever," Jesus says. He saith, therefore. Now, what is the therefore? Therefore. Therefore, say unto you, therefore I say unto you, what things soever. What does that include? What things soever. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, make believe, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. Don't stop with the Jesus. This is the next thing he says. And when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. Now, is doubt a thought? When doubt comes into you, is it you're thinking? Doubt things? When you're moving in unforgiveness, is it thoughts that you're having? And they're backward thoughts. And they stop you from getting to you what God has for you. Forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Backward thinking of doubt and backward thinking of anger and gossip and not forgiving stops what we've got working for us in our lives. And literally pushes it back away from us. And this will get even clearer. Now, I've used the Cadillac Escalade as just sort of a carnal thing. You know, it's just, we could think of it as just being a carnal deal. So let's put something else here. How about a person has cancer and this person needs a healing? Does it work the same way? If whosoever shall have whatsoever. Let's do this one. I want my healing. To be healed. I ask the Lord to heal me. Does it stop there? Or do I have to seek and knock? Seek and knock. I have to desire it. I want my healing. So I need to begin to make believe, desire, and make believe that I'm healed. So I get me a focus board. And on my focus board, you know, maybe I put up there the scriptures about healing. My God shall heal me. By His stripes, I'm healed. Put up some scriptures. Maybe I have a picture of me when I'm healthy. Maybe I have pictures of me doing something that I can't do now because of my sickness. Then all of a sudden, here comes a thought. The thought says, you're not going to be healed. This thing's going to take you out. What makes you think you're going to be healed? So-and-so wasn't healed. They prayed and prayed and prayed. And all of a sudden, what's happening to your healing? See? Think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report. So, no, by His stripes I am healed. By His stripes I can't have my healing. By His stripes. And somebody comes along and makes you mad. And now you got this unforgiveness thing going on. And all of a sudden, what starts happening to your healing? It starts backing up. You get bitterness in your heart. You get unforgiveness in your heart. You get things going on in your life. You start talking about people. And the next thing you know is your healing's moved away from you. What you want to do is defeat these things. You want to have a replacement thought. No, I am healed. I work in forgiveness. I am healed. I forgive. I move in compassion for people. I pray for people to be healed. I want my healing. And so what the Lord begins to do is bring our healing back to us. Because if we think on these things, Jesus says, whosoever can have whatsoever. And so you keep moving in these things. You keep defeating doubt and you keep smashing doubt and you replace the doubt thoughts with positive thoughts and you defeat the unforgiveness and the anger and the bitterness thoughts with positive thoughts, with thoughts of forgiveness. And then one day you look around and you are healed. And you've brought this to you because you choose to think this way. Most everything that we suffer in life is due to psychosomatic. In other words, our mind causes us to be physically ill. So if we get our thinking right, at least we've got a chance to get healed. Are you with me? You understand what I'm trying to project to you? See, we have forward thoughts and backward thoughts. And we could keep on going. Say, for example, that you want a great education. Say you want to go to Yale or Harvard. You live in Lafayette, Georgia. You go to Lafayette High School. And you want to go to Yale or Harvard? What kind of thought is that? No. You live in Lafayette, Georgia. And you want to go to Yale or Harvard. It's a good thought, but that sounds like a doubt thought to me. You get what I'm trying to say? No, I do. Yeah, I live in Lafayette. Yes, I can go to Yale or Harvard if I want to go. Bless God. Jesus said, whosoever can have whatsoever. And if I keep my thoughts going forward, if I keep my thoughts going forward and not backward, I can go there. You go tell your parents. I want to go to Yale. I want to go to Harvard. we ain't got the money to send you to Yale or Harvard. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Go visit the school. Go into the dorms. Try to go to some classes. Get some pictures on your focus board. Seeing yourself going there, make believe that that's the school you go to. You don't allow unforgiveness to get in your life. You keep bitterness out. You keep your thoughts always going to these things, whatsoever things, whatsoever things, whatsoever things. You keep believing it. You keep make believing it. Now listen, don't wait until you're 40 to start this. Students, you need to start this right now. You need to start it in the 10th grade. Where are you driving your life? Don't be a goof off. Come on, think. Where do I want to go? Because what I'm thinking today, I'm going to live in reality tomorrow. Do what Jesus said to do, and it's going to work for you. What about a house? And what kind of driveway do you want to drive your new Escalade? What house do you want to be there? You don't want to live in a shack driving an Escalade. What do you want? Where is it? What color is it? Get a picture of it. Go in it. Visit it. Get in there. See yourself living in that house. Make believe. Jesus says, if you then fight doubts, oh, you'll never get that house. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can get it, but you got to keep out doubt. You got to keep out bitterness and anger and all those other things, those other thoughts that want to stop it. What is it that you want? Where do you want your life to go? Because Jesus said what? Whatsoever things you desire. See, this is what I want us to see, is that in our thinking, we create our lives. Our lives are products of what we think, and it never, ever fails. Where do you want your life to go? What about your spouse? You want your spouse to change? Well, here's what you do. You're not going to change that spouse by beating up on that spouse and talking about how bad that spouse is. You need to have good thoughts. Make a list of the good things that spouse does. Whatsoever things are good. Don't think on the bad things the spouse. Oh, we can all find bad things that our spouse does, but you don't choose. You think on the good things that the spouse does. What about your wealth? Well, how do you see yourself existing? Do you see yourself as poor? Or do you see yourself driving your life, thinking your life, producing into your life wealth? What do you see? What do you see? It's what do you, it's the way you're thinking, because what you're thinking today, you're going to live in reality tomorrow. Where do you desire to go occupationally? What do you want to do with your life? Do you want to be a doctor or what do you want to do? What do you got to start seeing it? A lawyer? What, you want to make the six digits? Or are you happy with what mom and dad make? Ain't bad. Don't mishear me, mom and dad. Okay? But how many of you want your kids to excel what you've done? See, and they can if we can get this thinking thing going on. And what driveway do you want to drive your life? Because you have forward thoughts and you have backward thoughts. Paul said, think on these things. Think forward, think up, think out there. It is possible. It is possible to have what you want. Now, but is it possible to constantly think on only good things? Is it possible? I ran this quote for us last week. I showed it to you. I'm going to show it to you again, and I'm not going to redo all that I did last time, but here's a quote from last week that I showed you. It says, this guy does this kind of study where he counts, gets people to count their thoughts. Anyway, this is one of the studies. It says, I have people find out how their mind actually works, how many thoughts they run per day. And the average person runs about 15,000 thoughts per day, in which at least half of those are negative. So if I have 15,000 thoughts in a day, how many negative thoughts do I have according to this study? 7,500. Half of these are negative. And we know that our thoughts turn into our emotions. Would you say emotions? Emotions. Thoughts create emotions, and our emotions turn into physiology. In other words, your physical body responds to your emotions. Does your physical body respond to anger? That's a good one. Does your physical body respond to laughter, to joy? Yes. Okay. So I gave us several of these quotes last time, and what we saw last time was that the average person has between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts a day. And at least half of those thoughts are negative. So that's between 6,000 and 30,000 negative thoughts a day. And that 95% of the thoughts that we have, we had yesterday. 95% of the thoughts that we have today, we had yesterday, and that we'll have those same thoughts again tomorrow. So the negative thoughts I had today, I've had them yesterday, I'm having them today, and I'm going to have them tomorrow. Now, that fascinated me, so I took a little time and I began to figure on this. And then going at the bottom end of the scale, at the least amount of thinking that it gave us, which was 12,000 thoughts a day, half of those thoughts would be 6,000 thoughts. Work that out. Do you realize that means that you have 42,000 negative thoughts a week? Do you know how many of that works out to a year? Can I tell you? Say, tell me, Delbert. 2,184,000 backward thoughts a year. No wonder our lives are a mess. No wonder our finances are a mess. No wonder our marriages are a mess. No wonder our children are a mess. No wonder our occupations are a mess. We keep pushing back what we should be drawing to us. Now, I want you to think about that. If you're just average in your thinking processes, you are bombarded with over 2 million negative thoughts a year. How in the world can you control that kind of a bombardment? How can you control your thinking when you are being hit with 2 million backward negative thoughts a year? Is it even possible? But yet Paul said, think on these things. Jesus said, we got to control our thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Wouldn't it be great if we had an alarm system in our system?
Warning.
That would go off when we had a negative thought. Maybe it would sound something
ground.
Like this.
I am losing ground. My desire is moving away.
Negative thought. Negative thought.
Thought required now.
Backward thought. Backward thought.
Now.
Replacement thought required. Replacement thought required. Alarm. Alarm. But we don't have that alarm, do we? Or do we? Have you ever realized that you can literally think nonstop for hours or days or even weeks on one negative thought? That one negative thought can control your life for hours or days, or even weeks. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever noticed a depressed person? A depressed person will like go to bed for weeks. A depressed person won't eat. A depressed person won't bathe. And what they're doing is they're pushing away from them all good things because they're thinking this negative stuff. They push away people that love them. They push away their spouse. They push away their children. They don't want anybody around them. Get away from me. Leave me alone. They push away money. They'll lay out of work because they're depressed. And that thing has controlled them. One negative thought. I read this week where it's easier to overcome a physical addiction like tobacco or even drugs. It's easier to overcome a physical addiction than it is a mental addiction, a mental thing that we constantly are hooked up with thinking. And here's the reasoning behind it, is that you can literally, if you want, and if you ever do, you will, if you're a smoker, the only way you're really ever going to stop smoking is to take that pack of cigarettes or whatever that you smoke and lay it down and leave it alone and walk away from it. Same way with drugs. You know, you got to lay it down and walk away from it. You can do that with physical things. But you can't take a thought out and lay a thought down and walk off and leave it. It's going to follow you everywhere. And in your most unsuspecting moment, in your most unsuspecting moment, boom, there it is. And it just explodes into you. And then all of a sudden, you're controlled by it. It's easier. Now, I said earlier that it would be great to have an alarm system that would go off warning us about negative thoughts. Well, I have good news for you. God built into you an alarm system. You have an alarm system built into you that will go off and keep you thinking constantly 99% of the time forward. Now, if you'll pay attention to your thought, you'll realize that thoughts give themselves away. Now, the way thoughts give themselves away, good thoughts or bad thoughts, are through your feelings, or through your emotions. Thoughts create. They're created to create. Thoughts create. And so what they create first and foremost is an emotion or a feeling. Good thoughts create good feelings or good emotions. Bad thoughts create bad feelings and bad emotions. God's given us an alarm system. If we will just see how we're feeling, if we're happy or if we're sad, if we will take time to see how we're thinking, happy thoughts or sad thoughts, then all of a sudden that alarm goes off inside of us. Warning, 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 negative thought, backward thought. Good thoughts, we're having a good thought, they empower us. They make us feel good. Am I right? They give you energy. They make you grateful. They cause you to love. They cause you to laugh. They make you feel good. They give you energy to go out and do things and accomplish your goals and get out of that chair or get out of that bed and go to work and accomplish something. They empower you to do good things, to go towards your goals or your dreams or those things in which you desire. They empower you to get out there and do good stuff. They cause you to be creative. They give you creative thinking. Good thoughts do. That's what good things, that's why the Bible tells us to think on these things. Think on good things. They're always causing us to create, always causing us to go forward in life, go where we want to go. Bad thoughts do the opposite. Bad thoughts depress you. Bad thoughts make you sick. Bad thoughts cause you to be ungrateful. Bad thoughts cause you to be angry. Bad thoughts stop your productivity. They remove your energy. They cause you to want to be depressed. They cause you to want to sit down and not do anything and get everybody away from you. Leave me alone. I am mad. Am I right? And they're pushing away people and things from our lives and usually are destructive. Good thoughts are creative. Bad thoughts are destructive. This is how it works. Now, what bad thoughts do to us, and if you only get one thing out of this lesson or anything that I've ever said, get this thought. Thoughts bring to us what we think. They bring to our lives, they put upon us what we think. Job, this guy in the Bible, he was going through all this bad stuff. He was depressed, he was sick, he was pushing away everybody out of his life. And here's what the Bible says about Job in Job chapter 3, verse 25 through 26. It says, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." What I feared. Is feared a thought? What kind of thoughts do you have if you're experiencing fear? Doubt? Worry? Confusion? What about dread? Is dread a thought? Dread's doubt. Unforgiveness. Working in those arenas. See, Job's thoughts brought him these feelings and these emotions. He says, I have no peace. I have no quietness. I have no rest. They had removed all of those things. Those things came upon him and put Job into this position. See, what we think comes to us, it comes upon us. Was Job depressed? Was Job sick? Yes, he was. When Job got his thinking going forward, what happened to his life? His life started going forward. And when he started getting his life forward, he got back everything. He had pushed his wife away. He had pushed his friends away. When he moved into forgiveness, when he stopped doubting God and said, "Oh God, you're God. I look at all this stuff. I know." He moved away doubt. He moved away his unforgiveness. And the next thing you know, Job had twice what he began with. Our thoughts create. The Lord God has given you an alarm system, your feelings and your emotion. And you can actually stop and say, "How am I feeling?" And you let that alarm go off in you. Do I feel peace or do I feel unrest? Do I feel anger or do I feel love? How do I feel? Am I grateful or am I ungrateful? You can know if you're having a bad thought. Now, and what you have to do is you have to capture that thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says this, "We take captive every thought." Now, a better translation there for thought would be emotion. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I've read that to you a couple of weeks. So let me read it to you in another translation. Let me read it to you in the Message Bible. I love the Message Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, we use our powerful God tools. How about that? We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies. What is a philosophy? Ways of thinking. We smash warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose or wild thought and emotion and impulse or feeling into the structure and the life shaped by Christ. So what we have to do is immediately capture that thought. We have to bring that, we have to smash that thought, and then we have to replace that thought with a replacement thought that comes back in there and does away with that. It's impossible, hear me, it's impossible to have a negative thought, a backward thought going on at the same time a positive forward thought's going on. You can't have both going on at the same time. You're going to have one or the other. I choose to have forward thoughts. And you make the choice right then. Now, let me use this quick example. Anger. How many have never been angry? Nobody better raise their hand, because I think everybody in here can relate to anger. Anger, something we can all relate to. You're walking along. You've got it all going, man. You've got stuff coming your way. All of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere comes this thing. You didn't plan to get angry. All of a sudden, but you are mad. And all of a sudden, this thought has you. This thought of anger. Whatever the thought was, it's got you. It's controlling. You're in a rage. You're mad. You're fussing and yelling and throwing stuff, becoming destructive, because that's what bad thoughts do. That's what backward thoughts do. They bring destruction. Nobody wants to be around an angry, yelling, mad person. You've pushed everybody away. And what they create, and we all create the same thing, for the seed is in itself, and like produces like after its kind. Am I right? Remember that lesson that we did on this series too. See, after his kind, like produces like. In other words, the seed's in itself. And so what we get angry, it's going to produce anger. You start yelling at people, what are they going to start doing back? Yelling back. Because anger produces anger. And all of a sudden, we got a fight going on. Now all of a sudden we're throwing stuff and we're destroying stuff that we got to pay for. And it came out of nowhere. And there you are. Now you didn't have time. Most times when you really get mad, you didn't have time to stop it. It got you before you got it. Anybody say hello? But you're going to calm down. And when you cool down and you calm down, and you say, oh my goodness, I lost it. Backward thought. Warning. Replacement thought needed. See, the alarm will go off. Now, it went off after the fact, usually when you're angry. So what do? Do you just keep being angry? Or once you've realized that you're angry and you lost it, and you pushed that thing you desire away from you, what do? You just keep that thought of being angry? I'm right, bless God, I'm not apologizing. I ain't got nothing to forgive about. Hey, she's going to say something to me. I'm not saying nothing to her. Oh, that's biblical. That'll get your Escalade. No, Jesus said forgive. As soon as you realize it, forgive. Don't let the sun go down on it. You better get rid of it. You better get rid of it right now. Forgive. Forgive it. Honey, I'm sorry. I blew it. I lost it. And you do it. You get into it. You have to do it. And as soon as you get that done and you take all that stuff care of and you ask for forgiveness and you repent and you try never to do it again. But so you can't just take that anger and put it down. It's going to be there. It's going to sneak up on you again. But learn that as soon as it does, deal with it right. Try to repent. Try to never do it again. But then you got to replace that thing. You got to do what the scripture says. You got to smash that thing. You got to replace that thing with a God thought, with a thought from God, a thing that will bring you back into your forward power. I have replacement thoughts. I have replacement thoughts on ready. On ready. And so when something like that happens to me, I've got four replacement thoughts. Four of them. And any one of them will make me smile just like that. I got four grandkids. I can think about any one of them. I don't care how mad I am or depressed I am or how angry I am. As soon as I think about them, I smile. And all of a sudden, I've smashed that anger. I've dealt with it. Now, there's going to be some repercussions usually when you get angry. You got to fix something. You got to pay for something. So what you got to do, though, is you've replaced it. Now you got the Escalade coming back to you again. You get rid of it as soon as you can, and you deal with it. What I've tried to show you today is how to deal with backward thinking. Stopping backward thinking. You can stop it. And you can go by your feelings and by your emotions, and the alarm's going to go off. And as soon as it does, deal with it. Fix it. I've tried to show you that God created you in His likeness and in His image. He's given you God tools. You get to create the rest. You get to determine where you drive your life. What do you want? What do you want? Because you can have it. But what you're thinking today will create what you live in reality tomorrow. It's going to happen, good or bad. So why not just think on these things? Why not think on what things make you smile? What things make you happy? And control the other and get it beaten down. Now, I've tried to show you this. Which way do you think? Are you a forward thinker or are you a backward thinker? I know everybody in here says, well, I've heard this today. I want to be a forward thinker. I know you do today. What are you going to do tomorrow? You see, we'll find out. Because I'll know who you are by what you create. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's a light to our souls. It's a beam, a light beam in our hearts. It's so real. Father, I pray that every single person here receives the word, the seed today, and that it takes root and it brings forth so much fruit. Father, I pray that we stop backward thinking in our lives and we all begin today to think about our tomorrows and what we want and what we'll have. I pray for every student here, every young person here, Father, they will grasp this truth. They'll take it in their lives today and direct their lives for their tomorrows. I ask you to help us, Lord, see the truth in this. That, Lord, we can have great lives. We think them, we're going to live them. If we'll desire them and believe, we receive them. If we'll not doubt and we'll walk in unforgiveness, you're going to bless our lives in a magnificent way. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Pastor, that's why things are happening in my life. I need to fix some things. I need to stop some stinking thinking, and I need to fix some things and get my life moving forward again. I see why now. I am where I am, and I want to move on. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, I heard you today. I see hands everywhere. I see hands. I see hands. I see hands. I see hands. I see. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, now bless them. Bless them. Lord, they heard it. Let the seed fall into good soil. Produce 30, 60, and 100-fold in Jesus' name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. You know you've gotten away from the Lord. See, if you've gotten away from the Lord, you're just heading the wrong way. You don't have a chance for a great life. You got to have the mind of Christ. You got to be able to apply these things. You need the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. You need to be able to access Him to gain wisdom and understanding. You've gotten away from the Lord. Maybe you've never come to the Lord, but you've gotten away from the Lord, and now you want to fix it. You want to fix it today. I'm not going to make you come down here, shake my hand, sign a membership card. It's between you and God. I just want to know. I just want to know that God's spoken to you today and that you're going to get your life straightened out with Him. I want to pray for you. That's you. Would you slip your hand up for me? Let me see your hand right now. Right now. Right now. Father, we bless them in Jesus' name.